This is le podcast on emerging leadership. I am Alexis Monville. With the pandemic, we could consider that companies that wanted to reduce travel and expenses received absolute proof that everything could be done remotely. But will the new world of work really spare the commute time and costly office? And if it happens, will we ever need to meet in person? Jared Kleinert is the CEO and co-founder of Offsite. He's also the founder of Meeting of the Minds, as well as a TED speaker and 3-time award-winning author. And he is USA Today's most connected millennial. Hey, Jared, what is your role and how would you describe it to someone you just met?
My role, I'm the co-founder and CEO of Offsite. Offsite provides end-to-end retreat planning services and software for remote and hybrid companies. And as the CEO, I wear many hats. So, you know, some days I'm selling, some days I'm fundraising, other days I'm managing the team. And at a high growth company, that means recruiting. It means keeping everyone engaged and happy. It means getting everyone aligned on what the company's direction is. It's an all-encompassing job and every day is pretty unique.
Excellent. What was the pivotal moment that led you to start Offsite?
Yeah, so I've been a remote worker my entire career. I'm 26 at the time of recording this. I was fortunate to start my entrepreneurial journey at a young age, at 15. Not that anything that I started in my teens really got anywhere, but I was able to work for a VC-backed startup in Silicon Valley from 16 to 18. That company was called 15Five, which today they're over 300 employees. They are a employee engagement and culture management software product that powers 40,000 different teams around the world with employee engagement and retention. And I got to be there when they were less than 10 people working directly under the two co-founders. And so that was a really exciting experience because I was working remotely from South Florida in the United States where I grew up. And I was working for this, you know, Silicon Valley startup. The only way I got to meet the co-founders and the rest of the team was by going to these team retreats or offsites. Mm-hmm. Just the experience of being at a high growth company in its early days, being able to attend these offsites as an employee and understand the impact that had on the rest of my day-to-day work when I wasn't seeing my colleagues, participating in Zoom meetings, you know, weekly when we weren't meeting quarterly for these offsites. You know, that was just overall a very formative experience. And so, you know, after I left 15Five, I took like a 7-year speaker, author, consultant turn where I was started a few small businesses, a marketing consulting business, an events business where I was hosting entrepreneurs once a quarter for these similar types of offsites, but they were more of a mastermind with, you know, entrepreneurs getting together and helping each other grow their businesses. I wrote a couple of books. I was a TED and TEDx speaker and did some corporate speaking. So all these ideas sort of came together, what is seemingly like a very disparate and chaotic like career path has all sort of come together for building a company like Offsite.
It's really interesting that you are already speaking about kind of chaotic career paths and you are 26. It's a little bit funny that you already have more than 10 years of experience. It's quite impressive. I have a question about that new world of work. We learned and we heard a lot of time that with the pandemic, companies that wanted to reduce travel and expenses received an absolute proof that everything could be done remotely. And I wonder really if the new world of work will really spare the commute and costly offices. And if it happens, will we ever need to really meet in person?
Yeah, I mean, I think the future of work is different for everybody. And so I would guess or bet that the vast majority of people will want to work remotely or in some sort of hybrid setting where they don't have to commute, they can spend more time with family, they can travel and bring their laptop and work wherever they want when they're traveling, be able to go to doctor's appointments or work out in the middle of the day if they want to, really optimize their schedules. But there will be some people that enjoy an office environment. And don't get me wrong. I love meeting my team members in person here and there. I'm more than willing to get on a plane and meet potential investors or clients. I love going to conferences and events. And so I think how we work will be different for everyone. But at a company level, I don't think we will have a lot of companies that choose to have an only in-person company experience if they can avoid it. You know, there are a lot of benefits to having a remote first or hybrid company. And so that's sort of where we're going. And at the same time, as you mentioned, there is a huge benefit to getting people together in person, but doing so very intentionally. And so again, I'm biased, but that's where the idea of an offsite comes into play. And, you know, having a cadence of these in-person experiences where you're able to bring people together maybe once per quarter, or as, you know, in the entire company together once or twice a year, have 2 or 3 days of programming where you are deepening relationships with your team. Maybe you're doing some skill building. Maybe you're doing strategic planning for the quarter ahead or the year ahead. But you're also having fun and you're having unique shared experiences that build relationships. I think that's the wave of the future. It's something that if you look to the past, you know, the top remote or hybrid companies have been doing for a decade, like 15/5 or the company that owns WordPress, which is called Automattic, or Buffer, or, you know, Zapier or Basecamp, GitLab. They've all been doing this for the last decade. What we're trying to do is just create software to make the offsite planning process easier, because there has never been software to solve this really painful and expensive problem for whoever's planning the offsite, which is typically a chief of staff such as yourself. It's someone who's a people leader at a company, a department leader, maybe even a CEO of a smaller company. They shouldn't be spending their time planning an offsite, but at the same time, it's very important to plan offsites regularly if you're remote or hybrid. So I think that's part of the future of remote work, you know, and it may change. It may be in 20 years, we're all taking meetings in the metaverse. I have no idea, but yeah, I do think it'll be, you know, unique for everyone.
Yeah, I hope not, to be honest. But yeah, okay. You mentioned that the gathering and that idea of scheduling them in advance and having a cadence of them. I really like that. What needs to happen before the gathering to really ensure the success? And what are the successful patterns and maybe the common mistakes people are making?
Yeah, so planning a successful offsite happens in advance, as you were saying. And so considering your team size, if you're planning an executive team meeting of 10 people, you could probably start planning that 2 or 3 months ahead of time. If you're planning for 10 to 100 people, just to simplify the conversation, you know, you might want 3 to 6 months. And if you're planning anything over 100 people, like an all hands meeting, you may want 6 to 9 months to plan that ahead of time, or you might even take an entire year to plan that. And in the planning process, you know, you want to facilitate a couple of pre-offsite feedback forms. And so that will include getting the basics from employees of travel information, dietary preferences, any blackout dates. You know, maybe someone has an important life event that they can't get out of, or if there's a certain executive that you need to have at your meeting, you have to make sure that they're available before you're starting to book an offsite. These are some of the basics you need to get before you start planning, but you also can use the opportunity to start having a conversation with your team about what would make this an amazing offsite for them, or what are they hoping to cover on the agenda at the offsite. You might ask a question like an employer net promoter score or an ENPS score to be able to track the engagement of someone at your company both before and then maybe even after your offsite and see if that grows over time. Hopefully it's trending in the upward direction. These are the conversations you want to have well before the offsite occurs. From a logistics standpoint, you also want to think about where you're having the offsite and ideally book your venue well in advance. If you plan ahead of time, then you can have a lot of negotiating power with a hotel or a meeting space, be able to choose the best option for you logistically, but also negotiate your room block and negotiate discounts or concessions on meeting space, on food and beverage. Make sure that there's no hidden fees on AV, or, you know, that the taxes are clear. So these are all the things that you want to start thinking about well ahead of schedule. You want to put it on people's calendars so that they can plan to travel. You want to encourage them to book their flights ahead of time to save money, or possibly even book those flights for them. And, you know, then you free yourself up to focus on the agenda and make sure that you're scheduling an offsite that really maximizes your time together. If you're planning ahead of time, then you can develop an agenda with your team's input that really accomplishes your business objectives for having the offsite, while also allowing plenty of flex time for breaks and for team building, for fun activities. You could even then share parts of that agenda with your team to encourage them to do pre-work or preparation ahead of the offsite, so that when you're having certain debates or making certain decisions or doing certain trainings at the offsite, people have already thought in advance about what you're discussing, and they're not just hearing about it for the first time when you're together. I could go on for another 30 minutes, but these are all the things you can consider if you're planning ahead of time. The challenge is that a lot of people aren't used to planning offsites. They may not have the expertise to plan an amazing offsite. You know, you might be an amazing department leader, like a sales leader, or you might be an amazing executive assistant, but you might not be a world-class offsite planner. It's a totally different animal. And so you may not have the expertise to plan this. You may not know how to best negotiate with hotels and other vendors. You may not know all the nuanced details that you need to consider, like the number of outlets in your meeting space or the Wi-Fi speed at your meeting space or dietary considerations from your team, any travel sensitivities from maybe minority groups, and making sure you're going somewhere that everyone is going to feel included and safe. You know, there's a lot of details that go into planning these offsites. And so the earlier you plan, the more time you afford yourself to work through some of these challenges, the better prepared you can make your team, and likely you'll save money as well compared to planning it last minute, not having as many of your team members showing up, and then not using the time together most effectively.
That's true. That covers a lot of different skills. It's not only the event planning, it's the content of it and getting the input from the team and building something that will make the time together really meaningful. So there's a lot of different aspects. When I think of facilitating successful collaborations, I really picture the facilitation that happens during the gathering as really an important aspect. Do you feel the facilitator or the facilitation of the event is something important?
Absolutely. I've been hired to facilitate executive offsites at the Fortune 1000 level before, you know, I started offsites. That's another experience that leads me to want to start a company like this and grow it. It depends on what type of offsite you have and the team dynamics. But for most teams and for most companies, bringing in an outside facilitator who is skilled in that ability will allow you to stay on schedule, will allow you to have important conversations with empathy and with, you know, a healthy debate encouraged, with participation encouraged from everyone present. We definitely believe in the power of facilitation. Part of what we're building at Offsite is a marketplace of hotel partners that we have. And part of the marketplace is not just hotel partners that you can have your offsite at, but also various facilitators that you can hire that we've already screened for you, that we've pre-negotiated rates with, so that you can trust who you're hiring, know what their fees are going to be ahead of time, and then simply, you know, book them and invite them to your offsite. We're definitely encouraging more teams to consider facilitators. We also have an agenda builder feature that we're creating. And in that agenda builder feature, you can think of it as sort of a series of templates for your meetings. And once you start with one of our templates, there will be notes for whoever's planning the offsite on how to facilitate those sessions themselves. So even if you don't hire a facilitator, you already have the programming notes and the shorthand notes on how to actually facilitate a session by yourself. Because to your point, facilitation is very important. And so if you're not going to allocate budget for hiring a facilitator, we want to make sure you still have a great experience. And that is a wholly unique skill set. So with a little bit of coaching and notes, we're making sure that companies are having better offsites than they would have without us.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that in the agenda builder, if you hire an external facilitator, the external facilitator will have also the opportunity to enter the agenda builder and to help you use the different modules in the best way.
Correct.
Excellent. You alluded to that just before. We covered before the offsite, during the offsite, and there's after the offsite, after that gathering. Could you tell us what needs to happen after?
Yeah, after the offsite, I think a missed opportunity that a lot of companies have is not doing a post-offsite feedback form. And so you want to make sure within the week of your offsite, you're sending a feedback form to your team, asking them for feedback on certain sessions, to share ideas that they gathered from the offsite that could have a positive impact on their role, their team, their company. You certainly want to ask them how they are feeling about their colleagues and whatever questions you prompted them with beforehand, such as an employer net promoter score or a 1 out of 10 about how connected they feel to their colleagues. You want to ask that same question after the offsite and see if the gathering made a difference or not. And then you want to ask them when they want to do it again, where they want to have their next offsite. And so I think establishing a cadence of these offsites is important so that you constantly have something to look forward to as an employee working at home or working at a coffee shop. Maybe you're lonely one day and instead of starting to look for other jobs or sort of losing productivity, having another offsite to look forward to makes a big difference on the day-to-day front. Another thing that companies sort of drop the ball on is actually leveraging any of the ideas or next steps that can come from an offsite. And so if you're doing strategic planning during your offsite, how are you translating the ideas that come from your offsite to your project management tool like Asana or to your Notion wiki or whatever you're using to run your company? How are you taking the ideas and the decisions that you make during the offsite and translating that into your day-to-day work? You know, you want to think about how you're going to leverage the offsite and continue benefiting from it afterwards. And you want to continue the conversation by doing a post-offsite feedback form, asking for how the offsite went, how it could be better next time, and then starting to plan your next offsite immediately afterwards.
Excellent. Jared, you have been named by USA Today the most connected millennial. And of course, I've watched your TED Talk. That's really impressive. Can you tell us why you believe it is important to build relationships?
Yeah, I think the quality of your life is a direct result of the people you meet and how much you learn from them. And so that all translates to networking and relationship building, being mindful about who you spend time with, how you go about strengthening those relationships, staying in touch with people. And, you know, until we are all in the metaverse, until we're all sort of part cyborgs, I think the human connection we have with each other is one of, if not the most important things that determines our life. And I believe there's even scientific studies that talk about longevity. And one of the sort of top predictors of longevity is the amount of friendships you have. It's not necessarily whether or not you smoke or how much you drink or how much you exercise, but it's about the quality of your relationships. And it has an overall impact on your health, your wealth, you know, your career trajectory. So I've just spent a lot of time thinking about how to build relationships, how to deepen those relationships, and how to ultimately do meaningful things with that access, whether it's write books that inspire others or get the opportunity to do keynote speeches or TED Talks that others will view or create companies or communities. Yeah, I've just sort of leaned into the whole networking and relationship building thing. It's probably the only thing I'm good at. You know, I'm not good at anything else. I'm not a technical founder of a startup. I'm decent at marketing, but I wouldn't say I'm a world-class marketer, but I am world-class at building relationships and bringing diverse perspectives together to hopefully accomplish bigger things for society.
Mm-hmm. So we will benefit from your world-class skills there. What would be the critical advice to someone who wants to develop their network to build those relationships?
Yeah, actually, I have a book that I'm about to come out with called Networking. And I break the book into three parts. So the first part is connecting with yourself. The second part is connecting with others. And the third part is connecting with others at scale. And so the best place to start is connecting with yourself. And that means a few things. You know, first, it means understanding where you want to go in your career and life. There's various exercises in the book, like a vivid vision exercise where you write down, like in journaling, where you want to be in 3 years and in all aspects of your life, you know, romantically, with money, with your career, where you live, et cetera, and start to chart an intentional path for your life 3 years out. You also want to think about a relationship action plan. So what types of people do you want to meet in order to accomplish some of your goals on that vivid vision exercise? And then you want to think about what you can do to provide value to those type of people. So what actions can you take to deepen relationships, whether it's sending a birthday card or calling someone on their birthday or sending someone a congratulatory text message after you see a career update, or making a valuable introduction for someone to a new client or investor or employer. These are all specific actions you could take to deepen relationships. You also want to think about just what's going to make you stand out, whether it's credentials, whether it's, you know, unique personality traits or experiences or views of the world, different communities you can introduce other people to, thinking about where you want to go, who you want to meet, and ultimately how you're going to build and deepen relationships with them. That's all the work that needs to be done before you go and connect with others. So that's the connecting with yourself category. Connecting with others, you know, that part of the book talks about how to send cold emails effectively, how to ask for and receive warm introductions, and just, you know, all the different, I guess, tactics you can use to go about building your network. Mm-hmm. If you don't do the connecting with yourself work, it's going to be much harder to build relationships when you start going out into the world and connecting with people. And you're going to have a challenging time actually keeping those relationships going because there's no sort of goal in mind for deepening those relationships or no purpose. And so then it's connecting with others at scale. And we're talking about things like podcasting, where you can offer value to your network in a one-to-many fashion, or having an email newsletter, or starting a community, whether it's in person or online. There's all these sort of more advanced tactics where now that you have a really big network, how do you continue staying top of mind? How do you continue providing value? How do you leverage that network whenever you need support? So yeah, there's a lot to it. Yeah, I'll probably keep updating the book once or twice a year because I'm sure some of the tactics around networking will change, especially with new social media channels or new ways of working. But at the end of the day, it's sort of connecting with yourself and then going out and connecting with others in a very intentional way where you're looking to provide value up front and then sort of leverage the relationships respectfully and intentionally as you develop them.
It's really interesting because the way you frame it, some people think of networking or building a relationship as a way to get from others. And the way you are framing it, it's really, really think about what you can give. I really like that because then when you are clear about where you want to go and what you can offer to the world, then you can connect with people. That's a fair summary of what you said.
Yeah. Great job.
And do you believe that it has to happen in person?
No, I definitely think the in-person connections allow you to deepen a relationship maybe more quickly than doing it online. But I have plenty of online friends or virtual friends that I've never met in person, or I've been able to build relationships with over 8 years and maybe finally just met them in person a few weeks ago for the very first time. But yeah, this can all happen online. I do recommend trying to use, you know, Zoom or use some sort of video platform as much as possible, you know, because the best type of connection is going to be in person, in my opinion. Then it's going to be a video chat. Then it's going to be audio, like a phone call. And then it's going to be your email or sort of social media exchanges, and text messages are probably last, you know. Text is not great. But it's really about the quality of interaction and being willing to just explore deeper facets of that conversation with someone. We're not talking about the weather here, or we're not talking about sports. You know, we're talking about things that we're passionate about, and we're going to resonate with each other because of that. And that's going to carry our relationship for months, even if we didn't speak again for another 3 months for some reason. You know, we'll look back at this conversation and say, wow, that was, you know, a really interesting conversation, and I learned a lot. And those are the type of interactions that I try to have with people. I'm not wasting time with them, but rather we're having these deep and meaningful interactions, and that allows us to develop a very rich relationship over time.
Yeah, really, really important. You worked with a lot of leaders. Among those you admire, what's the one trait that stands out to you?
Well, the one trait that stands out, I guess an entrepreneurial passion, or like a mindset of entrepreneurship. There's a lot of problems in the world, and you know, many of those problems are growing exponentially. And I think the only way we solve a lot of those problems is to get more people to act on their passions in life and be entrepreneurial, and then unite in solving those big pressing problems. I wrote a couple books where I was profiling top performing millennials, from business owners to Olympians to actors to nonprofit founders. I've been fortunate to consult New York Times bestselling authors and small business owners that have built successful companies. And whether they're business owners or they work in corporate or they're athletes, like they all have a sense of entrepreneurship about their careers and lives, or even in solving problems as a nonprofit founder, where they're not sitting back and asking if someone else is going to solve a problem, but they're actively taking steps to better their own lives, you know, better their careers, solve problems that they're passionate about. So I think that's really important. Probably extends even to my hiring practices. Like I overwhelmingly have tried to hire entrepreneurs in my company, or people that have a side hustle or some sort of entrepreneurial spirit about them, because I don't want them to sit around and wait for directions on how to solve a problem. I want them to just go and solve the problem. We need more of that, because there is no rule book anymore. Like the world is so chaotic that there are no safe institutions anymore. We have to figure out how to solve these problems, or we're doomed. I would use another word, but I don't know if we're allowed to.
Yeah, let's keep that for the imagination of people. Jared, you're the CEO and co-founder of Offsite. You're also the founder of Meetings of the Mind. You're a TED speaker. You're an award-winning author. And as I mentioned before, the most connected millennial according to USA Today. Thank you for joining me today, Jared.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Le Podcast. Go to alexis.monville.com for the references mentioned in the episode and to find more help to increase your impact and satisfaction at work. Drop a comment or an email with your feedback, or just to say hello. And until next time, to find better ways of changing your team.